melodies in our heart as we worship together. Let us sing that song, Shout to the Lord.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the mighty love. Oh, my comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, oh, never cease to worship. Bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I'll sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stay. My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. Oh, my comfort, my shelter, a tower of refuge and strength. Oh, let every breath, all that I am, oh, never cease to down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I'll sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to promise I have. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth let us see power and majesty. Mountains bow down. Oh, at the sound
for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We fall down. Let's sing that together.
We fall down. We lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Well, the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Oh, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. We fall down. Cry holy, holy. Oh, would you cry holy, church? And we cry holy, holy, holy. We cry. And love at the feet of Jesus. Think about it now. Holy, 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 we cry, holy. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. Oh, just reach out to Him, church. Just speak His name right now. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. Oh, I speak Jesus. Hallelujah. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Well, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. Oh, I speak Jesus. Yes, and your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Oh, break every stronghold. Oh, shine. Jesus on the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Sing it again. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, oh, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Yes, oh, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life, break every stronghold. Over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. Praise his holy name. Amen. I pray that the power of our Lord Jesus Christ is taking hold in your life. Amen. Helping you through the hard times. Amen. That's what he's there for. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. Someone that you can always rely on to get you through the hard times, friend. Amen. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer as the musicians play that softly. We want to take these needs to the Lord in prayer. Man, I'd like to ask Brother Sam Britton if you'd be ready to do that for us. Remember Brother Peter and Sister Rachel. They're not with us today. If you'll remember also the Pritchard family, Ben Pritchard and his wife. In prayer, amen, Sister Rachel is certainly having a hard time with her back issues, and we want to remember her in prayer. If you'll remember Sister Karen Buchanan in prayer, and also Sister Shirley Buchanan. She's not doing well today, if you remember her in your prayers. Have a prayer request for the Drum family. Certainly always praying for the Brother Joe and Sister Frida. We miss them when they're not with us. Remembering Brother Richard Smith in prayer. And if you'd remember Sister Carrie Whitlock in your prayers as well. We know that she's been going through the vertigo spells, and if you keep Sister Tina Knobloch in your prayers as well. I have a prayer request here that was sent by Brother Ted Doucette this morning. This is for Brother Glenn Tamlingson. Many of you may know him. He will be having a CT scan to see the results of a tumor, and he's praying for a good result. Amen. Do you believe that our God can answer that prayer? Amen. Let's remember that. Amen. Brother Sam, if you'll come forward.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, everything that we need, Lord, is wrapped up, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I don't have the words to express, Lord, how much I love you. Lord, how wonderful that you are, Lord. Lord, we are so grateful, Lord. Lord, just to be able to call upon that name. Lord, all these requests, Lord. Lord, everything is wrapped up, Lord, in that name, Lord. And Lord, we speak the name of Jesus, Lord, over all these requests. Rachel Pritchard, her back. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would touch her. Lord, for Sister Carrie, Lord, Sister Tina, Lord, we speak the name of Jesus. We know, Lord, in that name, Lord, Lord, all healing comes, Lord. Lord, and in that name, Lord, it's where we get our strength, Father, Lord, our salvation. And Lord, that's the name, Lord, that we're calling on today, Lord, for these requests. And Father, Lord, I speak the name of Jesus, Lord, over my own children, Lord. And Lord, the children, the young people, Lord, in this congregation, Lord. Lord, we speak that name, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, just to deal with hearts today. Lord, you help Brother Barry. Lord, as he speaks, Lord. Lord, we don't want to hear from him, Lord. We want to hear from you. Lord, we want to hear from the name, from you, Lord Jesus. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, just to be here, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to come, Father. Lord, I've had such a desire, Lord, to go home. And Lord, I ask you to come, Lord. Lord, come get us, Lord. Lord, the ones that need to come, Father, before we get out of here, Lord. Lord, call upon them, Lord. Bring them in, Lord. Lord, this world is such a nasty place. Lord, every day, Lord, I desire to go home. Lord, to finally see you, Lord, the one that we call upon. Lord, to finally sit at your feet, Lord. Lord, for eternity. Father, once again, bless this service, Lord. Lord, be with these prayer requests, Lord, each one of them, Father. Brother Richard, Lord, be with him with the loss of his wife, Lord. Lord, help him. Lord, strengthen him. Lord, bring peace in his life, Lord. Lord, once again, Lord, I love you from the bottom of my heart. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Samuel. You may have your seats. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful presence. What a wonderful atmosphere. Amen. Brother Keith has a special for us this morning. If you'd like to be prepared to sing that, amen. I don't know about you, but I was saying that was very touching, moving prayer. Just, I can assure you my thoughts are the same. Amen. This world is just a terrible place, and what better place to be than at the feet of Jesus? Amen.
It's amazing how the Lord works. I got a request yesterday to sing this song, and I hadn't really sung it in quite a few years, but I went back and listened to it, and I got to thinking about how true that it really is. Brother Sam comes along and prays a prayer that's my heart's desire exactly. And this song, it echoes that. Lately, all I've got is leaving on my mind. I have nothing. There's nothing down here that's worth fighting for except your family. And I encourage you that if you've got loved ones that's out, apply that token to them. Apply it to them. Let's jump in there and let's get out of here. There is a heavy cry going out from the bride. You know, all of our ones. I'm 51 years old, and I look and see all the ones that I used to look up to years and years ago as mentors and all. They're leaving, or they're close to it. That just leaves me and God. And I just wanna get out of here. There's nothing here anymore. So if you know this old song, just sing it with me. Pray for me. The old house that I'm living in is needing repairs. The windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. And I say to myself, I'm gonna fix them when I can get the time. But all I'm getting lately is leaving all my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving all my mind. That's all I think about most of the time. Oh, but soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles far behind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving all my mind. I guess I should be looking for a better place to live. Oh, because I just can't seem to get excited about this old world and all it has to give. Oh, I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with one solitary dime. For what good would this world do me with the rapture?
Going to sing a special for us. You want to make your way up, brother, and we'll go ahead and make time for Brother Mitchell's special. Certainly enjoyed that song, Brother Keith. Amen. Very touching. Amen. What a wonderful message leaving on my mind. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Tossed in the water, but I never went under. You were always on time, Jesus. When when I went through the fire, you were right there beside me, 'cause you were always on time. You were always, always, always on time. You were always, always, always on time. Oh, you were always, always, always on time. You were always, always, always on time. Just sing it with me. Jesus, I was tossed in the water, but I've never went under, 'cause you are always on time. Jesus, when I went through the fire, you are right there beside me, 'cause you are always on time.
Amen. It's always on time. Hallelujah. Let's stand, and if our deacons will make their way forward today, we're going to make room for the word. And as the deacons are coming forward to take the offering, let's sing that song together, What a Wonderful Name It Is, Key of D, musicians. Brother Jeff, you can lead us in prayer of the offering.
Let's all bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just bless this service, Lord. I pray that you bless this offering, Father. In Jesus' precious name I pray.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Oh, my sin was great, your love was greater. Oh, what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, veil tore before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave, and the heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again, and you have no rival. Have no equal now and forever. Our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom. Yours
my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my
Lord.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we join our hearts together and our voices, Lord, as we sing your praises today in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan for every gathering. And Lord, every song has been on the same theme, and every comment this morning and every prayer. And we just are in expectation, Lord, for you to speak to our hearts today. Lord, just come, I pray, in the volume of the book and speak to us. And Lord, just move us from the way. Move me from the way, Lord. And I ask that you would just come and just bring that utterance to our hearts that only you can bring. And may, Lord, you interpret the word so that we can take it from here, Lord, and apply it in our lives. Oh, we just want to say we love you, Lord, with all of our heart, and ask now that you would just be pleased, Lord, to move among us in a personal way, a special way. Lord, minister to those who are sick and needy, those that are online today. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would minister to them as well. We love you, Lord, with all of our heart. We pray now that you would just take this part of the service, and Lord, may you anoint it for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. And everybody shook hands with their neighbor and said, God bless you, pilgrim. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. Bring that up there, if you will, sister. You may be seated. You don't want to leave that part out. Welcome to the house of the Lord. It's certainly an honor to be here today. It's certainly a blessing to be here already. Just the wonderful music and the wonderful sound and the wonderful atmosphere you've created today. I appreciate that. All of our musicians, our song leader. And Jeremy, I'd like to say this, that in the transition over our new sound system and everything else, we've arrived. And we've gotten there, slowly but surely, but we've gotten there. And I was just listening on the speaker in my office, and, just each instrument and everything just sounds so nice. And, it gets there just a little at a time, but we get there. And I really appreciate all of the work that goes into making the service like that and all the preparations that are done. So we appreciate it. All right, I have a couple of announcements, a couple of things I want to do, and then we want to get into the Word today, and we'll have you musicians just hang on a second, and then we'll let you take your seats in just a moment here. First of all, I wanted to say I don't know whether we've officially done this, but we need to welcome Brother Alejandro and Sister Karen and little Timothy. And Sister Karen, wave your hand back there just so everybody knows. And all the way from South America, but lived in New Jersey, and now living in Hickory, and we're just honored to have them among us, and may God bless you. We just want to make that official and remove any doubt, and God bless you. Great to have you. Let's do a couple of birthdays here. November 10th is Chris and Keisha Clayville's anniversary, right? That's not a birthday. That's an anniversary. How many years, Brother Chris?
13 beautiful years.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. November 11th is Aiden Stevens' birthday. Aiden, where's Aiden? There he is. Is that true, 13? No, it's the 11th. How old are you going to be, Aiden? 17. And I don't know how you guys arrange this, but Kingston, your birthday's the next day after that. How old are you going to be, Kingston?
17.
Really? Wonderful. God bless you. Bill Walters' birthday on the same day, the 12th, and the 13th is Sister Julia Clayville's birthday. And I know she's here somewhere, and we wish her a happy birthday as well. And also Jeremy Botha. Where's Jeremy? There he is, sitting in the front. God bless you, Jeremy. Good to have you. How old are you, Jeremy?
10.
10?
I'm turning 15.
15. Good man. God bless you. Good to have you on the front row. November 14th, Josiah. How old? 10 years old. Wonderful. God bless you. Happy birthday when it comes. And I wanted to say also, too, we just received this yesterday for the first time, putting Bibles into Liberia. And this is exciting. And Brother Aaron got his hands through the Bible Society over there on Bibles for the believers there. And so we placed several hundred in there, and then we're going to just see how that meets a need, and then we'll progress on from there. So we appreciate that very much. Also wanted to say, too, if you don't mind, my wife and I, Lord willing, will be leaving on Tuesday to go to Germany, and we'll be in Germany and Holland for the balance of the week for meetings over there. And I'll have at least three services over there, three regular services and a minister's meeting that I'll be speaking at. And this is a challenging environment to be traveling on an airplane in. And so my friends at the airlines, they assured me there'd be no delays. And I said, that may be true. And I also have some beachfront property in Montana you might be interested in, too. So, but if you don't mind, keep us in prayer as we travel over there, and getting to our point of departure out of Atlanta won't be a problem, but getting domestic flights are the issue here. But this meeting that we're going to be attending over there is well attended by people all over Europe and Russia, Ukraine, lots of different East and West Europe. Lots of people from that whole region come there. There'll be people from Africa there. And it's well attended. It's also, we're going, and I'm showing you this for a reason here. This is one of my favorite mission pictures. It's not the favorite, but one of mine. And this is us going into Kazakhstan in 2005. And on the right-hand side is Peter, then it's me, then it's Brother Vitaly, and then it was our driver over there. And so during this meeting, we're going to have meet with Brother Vitaly as well. And Kazakhstan is down on the left-hand side over there. And we traveled into there across the entire country and went to Shymkent. And the reason I'm saying that is I wanted to show you this picture here. The brother on my right is Brother Volkov, Sergei Volkov. And he was with us in Kazakhstan during that time. And you can see Peter in the background there. He was sick as a dog, and didn't want to eat any church dinner here. But this was the final day, and we had a church dinner. And the main dish there on the table is horse. And that's a delicacy in that part of the world. So Peter bowed out, not because it was different, because Peter can handle most things, but he was just so sick from the traveling and so forth, food poisoning, and he was not at the table. But Brother Sergei is now the pastor in Moscow and done a really tremendous job over there. And I have not seen him since this picture was taken. And so we're looking forward to meeting up with friends over there. And we would really covet your prayers. I think there is a link for services over there. And if there is and we can get it to you, we sure will. We'll try to give you that opportunity. And there's several services that go through all through the week. Now, we want to do something this morning that is special, and that is we want to call upon Brother Aaron Nangamaza this afternoon, this morning here, because we're going to pray over him and give him an official ordination for his ministry in among us here. Brother Aaron has been ministering a long time, and we really appreciate his ministry, and for purposes of taxes and so forth and complying with the laws, we want to present him with an official ordination certificate that he's going to need going forward. It's just a piece of paper. Now, let me explain this, as Brother Branham did, because he often prayed for brothers who felt they had a calling and ask God's blessing upon them. So I just want to read you just for a moment here just what he said. And this was in 1963 in the indictment message. And Brother Branham was talking about the scripture where Isaiah was touched by the coal of fire off the altar. And the Lord said, who will go? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. And he said, when we ordain these ministers by laying on of hands, he said, now we realize that's a scriptural way of ordaining ministry, is laying on of hands. He said, I think that's where the latter rain movement got mixed up. When they saw the laying on of hands, they thought we were imparting spiritual gifts. And he said, now, we do not believe that gifts comes by laying on of hands. In other words, we can't give you a gift by laying our hands upon you. We can't do that. He said, we believe that laying on of hands is a sanction to what we've already seen. He said, it's an amen. Now, when they laid hands on Timothy and those brethren in the New Testament church, they noticed these men had a gift. And he quotes a scripture. He says, remember, Timothy, to stir up that gift which is in you, which came from your grandmother Lois, and on down. And he said, they seen in Timothy, therefore the elders laid upon him, hands upon him, and ordained him, and put hands upon a man that nothing has ever been showed forth, and they asked just the blessing. And we all believe that. He said, so we don't impart spiritual gifts, we only recognize them and lay hands, and he says, to sanction them, and we believe God has done such things for the people. He says, so when we gather together, it's so nice. He said, not a denominational system, not an organization, but he said, just the biblical order, just the New Testament order. And he says, nobody, he says, causes this, but gifts and callings to minister the people are the foreknowledge of God. He said, you are, brother, and then Brother Bram says, he says, now you can't make yourself something, like, and I will tell you this for sure, you cannot make yourself operate as if you have a gift. You could try to do that, but it'll never work. It'll never be God blessed unless there's really a gift there. And he said, you can't make this up. You can't make yourself something that you're not. He said, I wanted to be 6 feet and 190 pounds. But he said, Jesus said, who by taking thought can add one cubit to their stature? And he said, you are what you are by the grace of God, and you can't add nothing. You can't take nothing. And if God wanted you to be a minister, he ordained you to be a minister before the world ever began. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I will say this, that we appreciate Brother Aaron, and since he's been here in our assembly several years now, he's been a blessing, proven to be a help in the church, and does a lot more than what you actually see here. So sometimes, you know, a guy stands in the pulpit and you think that's the extent of his ministry, and it's really not. I think it's about 20% of our work is done here in the pulpit. The other 80% is all the other things that go on. And for Brother Aaron, he does a tremendous job in not only in ministry, but also in looking after our missions program, as well as ministering to those that are in need and those that are sick among our assembly, and helping out in lots of different ways, and even being called upon with 5 minutes to prepare for a sermon. And so we appreciate that. So I'm going to ask Brother Aaron if you would come, and we'd just like to pray and acknowledge the gift that's in him. If we'd have our deacons to come on as well, we're going to invite them also to lay hands upon Brother Aaron, and just trust that the Lord will continue to bless him and make him a blessing to us here in this assembly. How many would agree that Brother Aaron's a blessing? Amen. We are honored to be able to do this. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we stand together, Lord, now as an assembly, Lord. I speak in the name of the assembly today. And thank you for this young man who has come into our midst, Lord. And I believe that not only have you ordained a gift to be working in him, but, Lord, you're ordained that he should be here, him and his dear wife and children, Lord, that they should be among us over these years. And what a blessing has been to the assembly. And I pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would, Lord, just continue to honor that gift and the way he surrenders himself to you, that you could use him for your glory, not only here, but all around the world, Lord, where he has contact with different people. And Father, may your Holy Spirit just move in his life. And I pray you'd keep him on the straight and narrow. And Lord, you continue to keep his mind and heart open to the will of God and whatever you have for him in the future. Lord, may you just use him for your glory. Use him to speak to hearts. Use him, Lord, I pray, to be a blessing to the people. And Lord, may he be just a real light, real example of the ministry wherever he goes in the world. We commit him to you, Lord. We thank you for the gifts you placed in him. And we acknowledge those gifts. And we ask and pray now in the name of Jesus that you would, again, Lord, just allow him to be able to be a real true representative of the kingdom, Lord, in this dying world. We commit him to you and his family. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. God bless you, Aaron. God bless you. Appreciate you. Brother Aaron always says it's a blessing, you know, to be here in the assembly with us. And I always say, well, it's always a blessing to have you in the assembly among us here. So we appreciate that very much. Let's stand to our feet this morning and let's just sing. Speak, my Lord. Let's sing, Speak, my Lord. And we'll just look to the Lord this morning. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Oh, speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Musicians, we're going to let you take your seats here, but Brother Keith, I'd like you to come over for a second over here, and everybody, while you're standing, if you want to take your Bible, we're going to go in the book of James here, and I just have one question for Brother Keith this morning, just one. We appreciate Brother Keith being here. How many enjoyed that special?
Amen.
I really enjoyed just singing at the funeral for Sister Smith. I thought that was a blessing. All right, now I have only one question for Brother Keith. Are you ready? Are you ready to be a grandfather? You are. Brother Keith is going to be a grandfather. And Sister Sarah, a grandmother. So Mitchell and Megan are going to be expecting a child, and we are excited for them. And just appreciate the good news. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be a parent. It's a blessing to be a grandparent. And we just want you to pray for Sister Megan. All right, James, the first chapter, let's read this morning. Are you all ready for the word?
Amen.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated. Now, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe, but yourself. Let me say that again. If you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe, but yourself.
Amen.
The last thing we want to do is put our trust and confidence in ourselves. And we put a very high priority on believing God's word and trusting God's word. And it's a very powerful thing. Now, I'm going to jump in here because I want to carry on a little bit from last Sunday morning when we talked about the golden age that is described in Scripture and described by Brother Branham many times in his ministry. And I'd like to give you a quote here. I'll start off with one. And then there's many, many, many others that are very, very similar. And I'm not going to give them all to you, but I'll show you two that I want to dwell on, okay? So I want you to hold on to this thought about the golden age. And it does not appear yet what we shall be, he said in 1950, for we shall see him as he is, free from sickness, free from pain. How many can say amen? God, that glorious day of redemption is coming, for all nature is groaning for that day. And now we're on the very threshold of the door to break forth into that great golden age that all the prophets have spoken of. We're on the threshold of that. Remember now, this is 1950. And signs and wonders have been wrought by thy servants throughout the land to turn the people back to a knowledge of the presence of Jehovah God in our midst. So notice this second paragraph. We're on the very threshold of this golden age now. And signs and wonders, this is important here, signs and wonders have been wrought by thy servants throughout the land to turn the people back to a knowledge, to awaken the people, to rouse the people to an acknowledgement of the fact that the presence of God, the actual living God himself is in our midst. I don't think we can kind of emphasize that quite enough here, but he says that these signs and wonders are meant to get attention. Isn't that right? Yeah. Signs and wonders are never going to rapture you. I mean, if signs and wonders are going to rapture anybody, Israel would have been gone a long time ago. The people in the 1950s and 60s would have been long gone if signs and wonders was the way out. It's not. It's meant to get your attention to a fresh message that God is bringing.
Amen.
And so he says signs and wonders have been done through thy servants. And there were other, this was a time of real revival in our country. And there was lots of different ministers that were traveling, lots of ones that had come before Brother Branham. Like Billy Sunday and different ones that were there, A. Allen, different, all kinds of different ministers that were around. And Brother Bam acknowledges that, and he says, they've been done by thy servants throughout the land to let them know that God is not just a God of history. He's not a God of the book of Acts. Hello?
Amen.
He's not just a God of the Gospels. He's not just a God of the Old Testament, but he's a God who's real today.
Amen.
He's alive. He's among us.
Amen.
And he's using men, he's using ministry, he's using different channels today to prove his presence in our midst. And he says, we're so grateful to be living in that time, and now we're at the door, we're at a threshold where we're going to break forth into that golden age, that golden era that he spoke of. And so this is the thing that he's acknowledging. Then he says it again in 3rd Exodus. And I want to just focus on this for a second here. Heavenly Father, as we by faith look towards the future as it was in Germany, in Russia, in Italy, the people raised up a Hitler and a Stalin. Hey, the people voted them in. The people chose them for the most part. And they came to the place and they hated the Jews. And he says, God, you got ways of doing things that we don't understand. So God's way of fulfilling his word is not always the way that we would think it should be fulfilled, or we think it will be fulfilled. God will do things that are sometimes way beyond, way above our understanding. But how many knows that when God does something, he does it best?
Amen.
His ways are not our ways, right? His ways are higher than our ways.
That's right.
And he said they were sent back to their homeland to fulfill the word and the loving hand of God. They were sent back to their homeland, Israel, which was Palestine back there, because there was no Israel back then. They were sent back to fulfill the word, and the fulfillment of the word had been prophesied way back where God said, I will scatter you, but then eventually I'll bring you back with a mighty hand. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
And God said in Acts chapter 13, right, you know, when Paul said, I'll take the gospel from you, and you know, he says it'll go to the Gentiles, a grafted branch. And in Romans 10 and 11, Paul says that Israel has not been cast away, but I'll bring her back, right? Mm-hmm. I'll restore her back. And so we're living in an age where you're actually looking at, you're witnessing the resurrection of a nation.
Yeah.
We are the generation that God has allowed to see that. And so they were sent back to their homeland to fulfill the word of God. They didn't go back easily. It wasn't a pleasant journey, you know, waving goodbye to Europe and off they go. One third of the Jews who were in Europe died at the barbaric hands of people like Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini, whom the people actually were stirred to elect and allow to remain in government.
And there were people who hated the Jews. Hitler was elected in Germany. You go back and look at your history, because there was 5 years of 25% inflation. And the people were fed up with the status quo, and they eventually put Hitler in there and Stalin. And even though he did not describe or detail all of his beliefs and his hatred for the Jews, but yet that was there, and Satan just anointed that and allowed those great cataclysmic events to happen against the Jews. Now watch what he says, and this is a tremendous statement to make. They were sent back to their homeland to fulfill the word. Oh, the loving hand of God. Sometimes it looks cruel the way people suffer. Still, it's the tender hand of Jehovah leading his children. Right. Now, let me tell you something that Brother Bam doesn't say here, and I'll add this in. There were ministers, there were rabbis, there were people that went through the Jewish community in Europe, all in the early part prior to World War II, and this would have been after World War I, but once World War I ended, there was rabbis and teachers and different people circulated among the Jews, visited synagogues, and told the people they needed to make their aliyah. And aliyah is the Hebrew word for going up. Going up, and that phrase means to a Jew that they're going to go up to the homeland. They're going to go back to Israel. They're going to go back to the temple and temple worship. And they were signaling that on the horizon there's trouble. On the horizon there's danger coming. There are dark clouds on the horizon. And they circulated in Europe and told the Jewish people that for years and years and years. But the Jewish people were embedded in their communities. They were embedded in banking. They were embedded in universities. They were embedded in business. And many of them looked at that and said, man, I don't want to leave all this and go back there. There is not even any country. Hardly any roads, hardly any infrastructure. And you want me to leave this and my wealth and my business and go back to Israel, Palestine, and scratch out a living back there and fight everybody every day in order to survive? You want me to do that? And that's what those sages were actually telling the people. You need to leave. You need to go. You need to pack your belongings and go. Get out of Europe, because there are dark clouds that are coming. And the Jews who were sitting there didn't recognize that. They didn't see that. Neither did they acknowledge that these men were sent of God until it was too late. And then they came to the place where they had no choice. And Brother Branham says it's only the tender hand of Jehovah leading them to the tree of life. So God's intent was good. God's intent was good. Their responsibility was to respond to the tender hand of God when God wanted to lead them back in safety. Now I will give you a little piece of advice here. By experience, I can tell you, you should never quote that very freely to a Jew and say it was the tender hand of Jehovah leading them to the tree of life. Because there's a lot of Jewish people that don't believe it was anything closely resembling tenderness. I've talked to Jewish people. I've talked to Jewish people in Jerusalem. I've talked to them who experienced the horrors of the Holocaust and all that went with it. And I will tell you something. You had to be very careful when you make a phrase like this. This is a Gentile phrase. This is not a Jewish phrase. This is a Gentile phrase. And you had to be very careful about how you use this. What's interesting is that today is the 87th anniversary of Kristallnacht. Kristallnacht is the night of broken glass. When all of a sudden the Jewish people in Europe, especially in Germany and Poland and Austria, realized that the Nazis actually did hate the Jews, and they were out to destroy them, to discriminate them, to discredit them, to intimidate them, to do whatever they could to destroy their success in Europe. And this was one of the first nights in November 1938. So we are right there, and this is the anniversary today. And it was a series of organized government-sanctioned violent attacks against the Jewish people, homes, businesses, and synagogues throughout Nazi Germany on November 9th. In other words, what this sentence says is that the Jews had no one to turn to. This was government-sanctioned, so they didn't have the army to go to. They did not have the police to go to. They did not have any recourse at all. They basically had to sit there and watch their businesses be destroyed. They watched their books being burned. They watched their livelihood just actually disappear in those 48 hours where this took place. And this event is considered a critical turning point in the prelude or the beginning of the Holocaust. And so it was a very important and a powerful event that took place. Now, all of a sudden now, these Jews who had been warned realized that, you know what, maybe those people were right. Maybe this is actually what's happening. And so I took this picture myself in 2012 when I was in Auschwitz. And it's interesting that in Auschwitz, and this is the train platform where Dr. Joseph Mengele stood when everybody got off the train cars when they arrived in Auschwitz. And he stood there and he used his finger and he went left or right. And he told people to go this way to the chamber, gas chambers, and this way they could go to the barracks where they could work. In the background there is the barracks. Also, what you don't know or see there is part of these buildings are torture chambers, which we went through. And it was just one of the most sobering experiences you'll ever experience is to stand where I stood there that day. And this scene here was incredible, partly because when the Germans realized that this was actually in had a momentum to it, this elimination of the Jewish population and the gypsies and so forth, they realized we need to build bigger and more powerful facilities. And so they built Buchenwald, which is just down the road, which is an enormous campus, an enormous area where this bigger concentration camp was. And it's probably 10 times the size of what Auschwitz was. The way that they built Buchenwald was they had dynamite and detonation mechanisms on all of the ovens and all of the facilities for destroying the Jews built in. So they realized that if ever the Allies came and they came into Germany, we could just press a button and blow up all the evidence of all of these Jews being murdered. And actually, that's what they did. So when you go through Buchenwald, a lot of the buildings are destroyed and all of the crematorium and all of them are all destroyed. Now they're just really piles of rubble. But you can tell what went on there. But because Auschwitz was old, they didn't build that in. They did not destroy Auschwitz. They literally just walked away. So when the war ended, the Jews said, leave it just as it is. Don't touch anything. Leave it exactly as it is. So the piles of shoes are there. The hair is there that they shaved off people. There's a room full of eyeglasses. There's a room full of prosthetics. There's a room full of wheelchairs and crutches. It's all still there exactly as it was because they did not destroy the evidence. They didn't think about destroying the evidence like they did in Buchenwald and some of the other camps that were there. And so this became the reality for the Jewish people. And the people had been warned in years prior, but now all of a sudden here we are in this time. My point is this, is that as Brother Branham says in the previous statement here, he says, Lord, you do things, he said, you got ways of doing things that we don't always understand. That things can happen, and things can happen in our lives, and even though we did not orchestrate them, even though we did not arrange them, yet it's the hand of God, because God has always got a purpose in whatever happens to us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God always has a purpose in what happens to us. And I would say this very categorically, there is no accidents with God. There's nothing that happens by chance to the people of God. Amen. And I will tell you this, and I want to just drop this in here, if you just bear with me for a moment here. What our experience over life teaches us is that God has ways of knitting together and using the enemy's plans for us to turn them into something good that actually propels his purpose forward. God has ways of taking your tragedies, and God has ways of taking the negative things that happen, because we know Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for good to them that love God. And so you can go through tragedies, you can go through loss, you can go through death, you can go through sickness, you can go through all kinds of troubles in your life. And as I look around in the assembly here, many of you have gone through different things. And whether it's a situation like little Wells here or, some of you that have come out of broken homes or broken church situations or whatever else, you look at those things and then you realize, wow, it's just the enemy attacking. But it's amazing how God will actually take those things that happen in our lives and turn them around to use them to forward his purpose in our life.
Amen.
He will actually propel us forward in the season that we live to accomplish what God has designed. Just like when all of this happened to the Jewish people, God uses that as a tender hand of Jehovah to bring the Jews back where they belong. Because now when the opportunity came for them to go back to Palestine and scratch out a living, they were the first ones on the ship. They were the ones that said, yes, Lord, I'll go. I'll head back there. And they had no idea really why. They had no idea really how this was going to work. They had no logical explanation for the whole thing. But yet now they knew that this call back to the homeland was a true call. And they needed to go back. And God used it, those early pioneers, to establish the land of Israel back again and to endure the hardships and to be able to lay the foundation and scratch out a living so that now we have the nation of Israel as established as it is. Do you believe that? Because when you experience tragedy, but you come back still worshiping God, and you come back still thanking Him for salvation, and when you come back still going to church Sunday after Sunday, you know what you've done? You've essentially disarmed your enemy.
Amen.
You've taken the tools and the weapons that the enemy has against you. You've taken them out of his hand and say, sorry, buddy, that's not going to work. I still love God. I don't understand why this happened. And I'm heartbroken because it did. And I don't have an explanation. And I can't explain to everybody why it happened to me. But I still love God. I still believe his word. I still believe that God's in control. And somehow or another, God's going to work all of this out for my good. Because that's the God I serve, and that's what the promise is in the Bible.
Amen.
You remember back in Genesis chapter 45, one of the best examples, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, and one of my favorite stories in Scripture, is how that Joseph turns and reveals himself to his brethren. You remember that?
Yeah.
Right? And in Genesis chapter 45, Joseph turns to his brothers and he asks about the welfare of their father. And they were scared. They didn't even give him an answer because they wondered, how does this man know about our father? And they didn't give him, the Bible says they didn't give him an answer. And then Joseph goes on and explains to them, I am Joseph, your brother. And he says, listen now, in Genesis 45, he says, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. Now remember, what they would see, what they would remember about this situation is that we hated Joseph, and we hated him without a cause. We really don't know why, but we hate Joseph altogether, and so we're just going to sell him to these slave traders that are coming through, and he'll be out of our hair, he'll be gone. And they lied about it, and they let it rest for all those years, 13 years, they let it rest there. But here's Joseph down there, and let me tell you something. Joseph would never have gotten to the place he did under his own power. Can you agree? He would never have figured out how to be the second in command in Egypt by himself. But God took that calamity and said, now I have Joseph in my hand. Now I can turn the events around him so that I can train him as a steward to eventually go to Potiphar's house and then eventually to the castle and then eventually to the throne, second only to Pharaoh himself. And here's God taking that. But remember now, as soon as Joseph gets into position, Pharaoh has a dream, and a dream is of a drought that's coming. And the drought, he says, is going to be exceedingly terrible, and it's going to kill lots of people. In other words, there are entire lineages of families that are going to be cut off. They're going to die. They're not going to have a choice because there's going to be 7 years of famine, and it's going to destroy lots of people and all the livestock and everything else in the earth. And you know what? God says, but no problem. I've got a man in the kingdom who has an answer for all of that. And he's going to take advantage of the 7 years of plenty and store it up. And in Egypt, there will be enough to sustain not only Egypt, but all of the world. Let me tell you something. God was not interested in just Egypt, but God was interested in this family.
Amen.
Because out of this family, according to a promise to Abraham, he said, I will bring you to David, and from David I'll bring you to Christ. And God was looking at that seed line, that heritage, and he was saying, that's the seed line that I'm here to preserve. Those are the people that I'm here watching out for. And God had his man Joseph in place to do that. And none of this was known to Pharaoh. None of this was known to the brothers. None of this was known to Jacob. None of this was known to anybody else. But God has one man on the earth. And when he takes that man, even in despite of all Joseph's trouble and his dilemma and his imprisonment and all of the bondage he goes through, God is still shaping him and using him to propel his program forward and not have that lineage cut off, because that lineage led directly to David.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Amen.
So God's ways are not our ways. And God's way of doing things, very often, we don't understand. But I will tell you what, God's got control. Now I want you to hold on to that and watch here. Again, the Queen of Sheba, 1960. When God sends a gift to the people and they recognize it, it's always a golden age. Look at the sentence. The golden age is triggered by people recognizing what God's doing. A golden age begins when someone recognizes what God's actually doing at the time they're living. But when they refuse it, there's nothing left but chaos. Look around in our own country. He says it again, Queen of the South, this is 1957. In the great golden age of Israel, God had gifted a man by the name of Solomon. And he prayed for wisdom to lead the people. And when the gift is given to the church and the church refuses to hear that gift, then the gift becomes of none effect. Imagine that someone can have a gift like Solomon did, and the gift can actually be of no benefit. And the reason is because people ignore it. They don't even acknowledge it. They couldn't care less. They might even come to church. They might be around. But you know what? They really don't care. And Brother Branham says this over and over again. Here's the same sermon title, Queen of the South, but this is 1958. And he says, now in all ages when God sends a gift to the people and they refuse it, it only makes the people go into chaos. But when the people accepted what God sent to them, it's what? A golden age for the people. So what triggers a golden age? In other words, let me ask you, what triggers a golden age for you? Is to believe what God is doing in your day. Yes. To believe and acknowledge the gift that God has sent in your day. Now, it's really interesting because, you know, you wonder, Brother Branham, he says this over and over again. I could be all here all day giving you the same quotation over and over again. And I wonder, you know, Brother Branham, in his own way, in his own efforts, just trying to get the people to recognize, come on, folks. What you're seeing here, the healing, the discernment, knowing the thoughts and intentions of the heart, all the supernatural things that have taken place, raising of the dead, cross eyes turned straight, Amen. The dead raised among us here, squirrels spoken into existence, sword in the hand, all the different things that God has done. And Brother Branham, in a sense, is saying, just like Jesus did in front of Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how oft would I have hovered you like a mother hen over her chicks, but you would not. So in other words, for the bulk of Israel, they don't benefit from the presence of Jesus. And that's why sometimes Jesus had to take two people or take a man outside of town. You remember that? A man was blind and Jesus takes him by the hand and goes outside of town and lays hands on him and he's made well. Why? Because there's such an attitude of unbelief in that town that even Jesus himself couldn't get through it. So he had to take the man out. Come on, folks. So there's a gift. I mean, the ultimate gift you want to have is Jesus standing among you there in a body and able to do whatever God can do. And he's standing there and it's not working for him. It's not doing anything for him. It's not acknowledged at all. And Jesus has to take the man outside the town. And he says it'll be better for you, better for the people of Chorazim and Sodom in the day of judgment than it will be here, because they rejected that gift. Now, here's another one. I want to dwell on this for a moment here. Invisible Union, 1965. If I would have had to say so before the foundation of the world and God would have laid out the program and said, I want you to preach, what age do you desire? Look at the timeline. Tell me when you want to be there to preach. Oh, he said, I would have chosen this age. This is the golden age.
I certainly would have loved to have been here during the time of his visit to the earth. Jesus' visit to the earth. I mean, you got to admit, that'd be pretty neat. Still, I think right now is a greater time because he's coming to take the people he's redeemed near the resurrection when all the redeemed will come forth. And all the saints of all ages, 2,000 years worth of people now come forth and death can no longer hold them, held it in a dimension. And now all of a sudden they come forth and Jesus leads all of them now into glory. He's coming to take a people he's redeemed near the resurrection. Do you believe you're near the resurrection?
Amen.
You got to think about that. If we really are that much closer, this is 1965 here. And he says, what a glorious opportunity we have to speak to a dying people, a great time. Oh, I've just added another witnessing tool into your arsenal there, because now you can say to people that you know, hey, do you realize we're right next to the resurrection? Do you realize we're real close? This is what the Bible pointed to, that there would be a people who would be resurrected and a people who would be changed, they'd be brought together and taken off the face of the earth. Throw that at them. Throw that at them. Tell them to Google that one. Tell them to AI that one. All right, now let me ask you, let me stop and ask you now. Let me give you an example here of exactly this. In Brother Bram's own church, in a sermon called Make the Valley Full of Ditches, you'll recognize this quote. A lady in my church, Mrs. Weber, she was dying with TB in the sanatorium last stages. They sent her home to die and said there was nothing could be done. She lived just beyond the tabernacle here, 5 or 6 little children. So the angel of the Lord came to me that night and said, go tell Mr. Weber to get things ready, for he's going to be left with those children on his hands, for his wife is going. Well, I went and told Mr. Weber. That was the word that he got. 2 days after that, some ladies from the government depot there where she worked came in, and Mrs. Weber said, if I could only have Brother Bill pray for me once more. I seen when my cousin Opal was healed with cancer, and the doctor just gave her till morning to live, and she was healed. And the girls from the government said, oh, there ain't nothing to that guy. He's nothing but a hypocrite. So now, watch now. You have a gift that's manifested, right? And God is faithful to manifest a true gift. God doesn't just do it in a corner, and he doesn't do it just once or twice. I mean, we have thousands and thousands and thousands. I know people personally are still alive that were healed in those meetings. And God manifests his gifts. God likes to put him, you know, that power on display. And so here's this gift. And there's a bunch of women there. The mindset is, that's nothing but a hypocrite. You know, don't bother. I mean, you're dying. You know, don't go there at all. Don't worry about it at all. Miss Weber says, look, I'm dying. And I know that. But I just won't stand still for that. I know better than that. I lived right here around this city, around that man all the time, and I've seen him from a child growing up. And you can call it fake if you want to, but I've seen it and seen God heal the people. And I know the man's life. And I know it's the truth. Amen. And it happened to be that the angel of the Lord heard that. So now you got a gift that's manifested. You got some people that reject it. And you got somebody who believes it. What happens now? What happens? The angel of the Lord heard it that very night sitting on the side of my chair. I saw him walking through the door, the angel. Tomorrow, Sunday, they'll be coming to pick Mrs. Weber up, bring her down to the tabernacle. She'll be sitting on the right-hand side. And I heard her. And tell her I heard her. What she said.
Amen.
You tell her that I heard what she said. And tell her, thus saith the Lord, she'll live and not die.
Amen.
His presence was there when she was taking up for what's right.
Amen.
Do you understand? She's on the edge of a golden age herself. Right? The nation of Israel can have a golden age like in the days of Solomon. But now here she is acknowledging what God has done in her time. And she's acknowledging that what that prophet was doing in that ministry, that was right. That was of God. And she said, you can say what you want, but I believe it's the truth.
Amen.
I see his life. I see all the evidence of a real move of God here. And I want to tell you, I believe that God is able. If I can only have him come down and pray for me one time. And the angel looks at that and says, wait, hey, whoa. Whoa. You tell her I heard what she said. Tell her, thus saith the Lord, she'll live and not die. And his presence was there when she was taken up for what's right. And his presence was there. And he found her. So he came and told me what she had said to those women. And he had respect to her because she had respect unto what was representing God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to have that kind of, I want to have that kind of acknowledgement. I want to have that kind of, mission in my life. I want to be able to acknowledge what God is doing right now. And I want somebody to hear that.
Amen.
I want somebody to hear that. And I want that somebody to send angels on my behalf. You know why? Because I have need of angels. I have need of miracles in my life. I have need of answers. I have need of things in my life. And the way to trigger that is to say and acknowledge and believe that what God is doing in your day is the absolute truth. And watch what God does in response. Your job is not to fix the problem. That woman, Miss Weber, couldn't do it, but she knew a God who could.
Amen.
It was not William Branham. It was what God could do, what God sent him to do with that gift of healing in his hand. Don't you realize we can trigger a golden age in our lives as well?
Amen.
We can trigger a golden age in this church right here.
Amen.
You can actually, we as a people can actually bring on a golden age in our assembly right here when all of the world out there is floundering and wandering and they're doing this and that and all kinds of crazy filthy things out there. We can actually trigger a golden age right here in this building by simply believing and acknowledging the word that God has sent in our time. Not just what Brother Branham did. Not just what Brother Branham did, but what God is doing here today. God let Brother Keith live long enough to be a grandfather.
Amen.
Now he can go in peace. God let Brother John live through all he lived through in order to be here today.
Amen.
I was thinking of Brother Sam praying today and saying how, you know, he just loved the Lord so much with all his heart. I was just moved by your prayer, Brother Sam, and just thinking about all you've been through. But what a victory that he's still standing here thanking God, loving God, acknowledging God. Let me tell you, that's going down and taking the weapons out of the devil's hand and saying, ain't going to work, buddy, ain't going to work. Glory to God, that ain't going to work. That's not going to work on us because we live in a golden age. We live in a time when we believe what God's doing, and that can happen right here in our assembly. Hallelujah. Watch what he says now. So God will do the same thing for you. God will do the same thing for you, not to respect me, to me, but to respect to him, to Christ, the one who died for your healing. Now watch now. If you give respects to him and his word, God will do the work for you. God will do the work for you. It's not your pastor's going to do the work for you. It's God going to do the work for you. Oh, that's what the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Watch, I'll give you another version here. For all the promises of God in him are yea, in him, unto the glory of God by us. In other words, God provides the promise. He states the promise. He manifests the fact that he can fulfill that promise. Your job is simply to say yea.
Amen.
And watch what God does for you. And God will do the work for you. That's exactly what he's saying. Let me give you another version here so you might understand it better. Do you think my plans are careless? Paul says to Timothy. Do you think I am like people of the world today that say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you doesn't waver between yes and no. We're not of two minds. We're not ambiguous. We're not, well, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Hey, either God is real or he's not.
Come on. Right.
Either God's a healer or he's not.
Amen.
Either God's a deliverer or he's not. Either you've met him or you haven't. He's a savior or he's not a savior. One or the other. But he's not somewhere lost in between. He's not in a gray fog in between. This message is of God. It is or it isn't. One or the other. But Paul is saying to Timothy here, hey, God is not somewhere between that. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He's the one whom Silas and Timothy and I preach to you. And as God ultimate yes, he always does what he says. Can you say amen? Amen. God always does what he says. Amen. You better believe it, that if God said it, he's going to do it. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory.
Amen.
Do you realize when you hear a promise of God, and you might be sick as a dog, but you hear of a promise of healing, and something in your broken body says yes, that yes goes all the way, it ascends like smoke into the presence of God. Amen. And God hears that and says, I'm going to come down, excuse me, I'm going to come down and do the work for him. I'm going to come down and do the work the doctor can't do. I'm going to come down and inspire that doctor to give them the right thing. Because healing comes from God, no matter which hands produce it.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
I'm going to allow that chiropractor just to find the right spot. I'm going to, allow that remedy to come to that person here. And let me tell you, when those good things happen to us, you know what we do? We turn and we give God the glory.
Yes. Amen.
So God has a promise. God manifests a promise. Our job is simply to say, yay! And then we watch God at work.
Amen.
Amen. God does not, anywhere I've looked, I've checked, God does not anywhere require us to do the work that he promised he would do. God does not lay it upon us and say, all right, now roll up your sleeves. Here's step number one, step number two, step number three. God doesn't do that. He says, you just say amen to the promise, and I'll go to work for you.
Amen.
Look, do you realize how good you got it when God goes to work for you? When God goes to work for you, the devil's got nothing but a headache. He's got nothing but a challenge ahead of him. Because the greatest battle, folks, the greatest battle is not between God and Satan. That battle's already been decided.
Amen.
The greatest battle is between you and Satan and your mind, because he's trying to get you to doubt. He's trying to get you to believe that that applies to you. You say, well, I'm just an insignificant sister here, and I don't do anything, and I'm just a little young guy, and I'm sitting on the front row, and, you know, that's great for Brother Barry, and it's great for some of the old people, it's great for Brother Keith, great for Brother John here, but I don't think it's going to happen to me. And whether you realize it or not, that's your battle that you're fighting. I said, that's your battle that you're fighting. What you need to do is go along and take that weapon out of Satan's hand and just say, yay.
Come on.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. I'm a yay guy.
Amen.
I'm a believer.
Amen.
I'm a believer in the promise of God.
Amen.
Am I making sense?
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
That's what God's looking for, is a witness. This is what Paul is teaching in the Corinthian church here. Hey, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's saying. God knows what he's promising. God doesn't promise anything he can't do. What are you going to do about it? Just sit there and say yay. That's exactly what God wants to hear.
Amen.
And that puts him into action. Now the problem is, we live in an environment where, in all the world around us, we live in what I've referred to before as a secular world, where everything is wicked and everything is against God. So like it was in the days of Noah, the thoughts of men's hearts were evil continually. And that's the way it was. We live in what we call a secular society. In America now, most of the countries of the world are basically secular societies, where it's the view that we have a philosophy and we have a method of governing whereby we reject all forms of religious faith and worship. That's exactly what we struggle with. That's exactly what we find. And we see the whole nation has kind of moved against that in our time. Would you agree? It's not a really good environment for Christians at all. Brother Branham said how this world is contaminated, and they have crossed the dividing line between reason and common sense. Amen. Anybody know where common sense went? I never voted common sense out, but somehow or another it got out. Let alone between salvation. Men can't even judge. Why don't we have no men more like we used to have? Where is Patrick Henry? Where is Abraham Lincoln? Men that stand for solid conviction. Where is common sense? What's common sense anymore? She puts herself out there and lives like a dog of woman. He says, lives like a dog. She's got no more common decency than that. Where are the laws that could stop it? Oh, I'll tell you what. Patrick Henry, being a great Virginia self-taught lawyer and a man of principle, simply believed that our freedom from tyranny and freedom from an unjust monarchy was the way to go, and for us to be able to have our own constitution. As a matter of fact, he didn't believe in the Bill of Rights. He's often blamed for that simply because he wanted to put all the amendments that were going to be in the Bill of Rights into the Constitution. Write it in now. He said, if you don't write it now and you pass the Constitution, we might never have the chance to add the Bill of Rights to it. And the Bill of Rights are the amendments that were added after the writing of the Constitution. So Patrick Henry fought for that. What you don't know is that on Friday, I got a chance to meet the fifth great-grandson of Patrick Henry. And I took this picture, and he was over at Smithfield Plantation, off the campus of Virginia Tech University. And he works at Red Hill, which is the home of Patrick Henry, where he died of lead poisoning. And he travels the country, and he goes around, and he gives the give me liberty, give me death speech. And he gave that whole speech when he was there. He recited it from memory. And he had questions and answers and all the rest. It was really nice to be able to meet him. He was a wonderful fellow and really nice. But he talked a little bit about the principles that Patrick Henry lived for. And he talked about how that in our environment today, it's a very difficult thing for us to imagine having a man like that today live in our time. Because, the foundations of our country have so shifted. They have so eroded the principles of right and the standing for Scripture, and all the other things that that went on. And so he was inspiring, certainly, to listen to. But let me tell you something, saints of God. Brother Bam says, I got that little story about the eagle, and he says with the hens and the chickens, because he was hatched out and born out there. And he never did feel like he was one of those chickens. And that's the way every believer is. You weren't born for this world. You were created in the image of God to be a son of God. And you don't belong in this world right here. You're an eagle.
That's right.
You don't belong in this world right here. You don't belong in this chicken yard out here. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's the way every believer is. Because the farther we go with the opposition that we have and the anointing that is on this world here to bring it to tribulation and to bring it to the condition of Sodom, and that anointing, which is so real and so powerful, that's pulling the entire world that way. But yet, Brother Branham says there are people just like that little eaglet that's in the barnyard, doesn't have a real revelation of his identity. But one time, he hears that voice and he realizes that he's an eagle because he was never meant to be down there. He's meant to be up there. Hey, there's something in all of us that says we are not meant to remain down here. We're not meant to belong here forever and ever. God has got a plan to get us from there to there. And it comes by hearing and hearing that voice that reveals our true identity. And I want to say to you today, in the midst of this golden age that we live in, the thing that God has released, or the thing that God has brought to us, is a revelation of our true identity. And when you can believe that revelation of your true identity, come on, folks, yeah. Because the seals revealed Christ. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And in the revelation of Christ, there was not only a male part, there was a female part. It was a part that was taken out of him. And we're now, expressed in different bodies here. How many of you actually can believe that you are that feminine part that came out of Christ?
Amen.
You are actually that feminine part that came out of Christ.
Amen.
And therefore, you don't belong here. Wherever he is, that's where you belong.
Amen.
Wherever he exists, that's where you belong. Wherever he has ascended to, that's where the bride is ascending to. And believing that revelation, my friends, will trigger a golden age for everyone.
Amen.
It'll trigger a golden age for this assembly. It'll trigger a golden age for all the bride all over the earth. And I will tell you something. I just marvel at the unity at which the Holy Spirit can bring in causing that to happen, where people are coming to a revelation of who they are. We've sat in the presence of the Son for years. We've sat out in the field for years and had a lot of immaturity baked away from us. I'm talking about the bride now. I'm talking about the bride. I'm not talking about kingdom builders, and I'm not talking about false prophets or anything else, but I'm talking about the bride. God had us out in the field for years now, since the departure of Brother Branham, to bake us and mature us and bring us to a place where we realize who we are. And it's not our dependence on a church building. It's not a dependence on a man. It's not dependence on, the man William Branham back there. That's not what our faith is in. That's not what our anchor is tied to. Our anchor is tied to Christ.
Amen.
Our faith is in the living God. Our faith is in His Word and His promise that He's given to us. And this day, God has anointed us to believe that we actually are who the Scriptures declare us to be, and that is the people of God that He's taking away, who will not face death. We are that people. God made the systems of this world to break. He says, we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Every politician, every denomination, every church system, it'll all fall to pieces. But God made it fragile so it would break. Every political kingdom broke. Remember this? Every one of those kingdoms, in the vision of Daniel, every one of those kingdoms had great strength and worldwide power. They had global dominance in their day. But where are they all now? They broke. God made them fragile enough, just fragile enough, that they would break. At the right time, they would break. All the way down to the feet were part iron and clay. And God says, I'll make sure it breaks. And He takes a rock off the mountain, smashes it on the feet there, and it breaks into pieces, breaks into powder. Isn't that right? God made those systems fragile, so they break. And He says, one of these days, that little minority, as it was in the days of Noah, they're looking for a great universal something when it's not even in the Scripture. One of these days, they'll say, well, I thought the Bible said there was supposed to be a tribulation coming and a message to a bride. The bride escapes all this. Why? Because God opened your eyes before that event comes to pass. God opened your eyes to be able to see what you see today. God gave you the understanding. And like I said, the thing that separates us and makes us different than other people of other groups and other systems and denominations and so forth, it's not our stature, it's not size of our church and the quality of our music, but the thing that separates us is our knowing. Our knowing is different. Our understanding of the Scripture is different. Our interpretation of the Scripture is different. And God gave us that through knowledge and wisdom and prophecy and revelation. And God made sure we would understand it and have it embedded in our hearts. So that whenever God turned a corner, we'd be saying, I got to go that way. Amen. Everyone else might want to stay there, but I got to go that way. Amen. And I believe it.
Amen.
And I'm trusting in that. Amen. Give me another minute or two. God hiding Himself in simplicity. Here's Brother Branham going into the seven seals, and he gives us an illustration here. Many miss Him by the way He reveals Himself. If you were living in the days of World War II, and you looked at the situation with the Jews, and there were many people like Winston Churchill and other political leaders who knew what was going on among the Jews in Israel, or sorry, in Europe, in Poland, and in, the different Eastern European countries. There were lots of them that knew what was happening. But they decided not to act on behalf of the Jews because they had to dedicate resources to other efforts in the war, making sure that Germany didn't get a nuclear bomb. And all the other things that were prevented from happening, like the attack that they did up in the mountains in Norway and so forth, and the heavy water plants and all the rest of it. They had to keep their finger on the fact and the pulse that Hitler had of creating an atomic bomb. Because if he had one, most likely he definitely would have used it. But they had to prevent that from happening. So they had only so many resources, and they couldn't devote resources to the Jews here. They had to devote the resources to making sure that there were bigger events that didn't take place in their view. But let me tell you something. Whether they realized it or not, they were not the ones that were in control. Because if God wanted them to, they could have devoted their resources to salvaging the Jews there. But you know what? God wanted all the Jews to go back to Israel.
That's right.
And so God did not frustrate His purpose. God allowed those things to happen in such a way that, that the Jews would be driven back out of desperation, to be driven back and getting on ships and whatever they could float to get across the Mediterranean to get back to Israel again. They were driven back there. And there was nobody there to help them. It was just God watching over them and getting them back into Israel. My goodness, that's not our way. That's not our way. But many people miss Him by the way He reveals Himself. And if you were living back there in World War II, and I know people who were living back there in World War II, they would not have said, oh, what a great thing God's doing. They would not have done that. Everyone was interested in their own survival. Everyone was interested in, we get our own boys back in America. And, will Europe be swallowed up by Nazism and so forth? And what will happen to communism and all the other nations vying for their own security and stability and all the rest of it? They were not there saying, oh, thank God for what He's doing today. They were not saying that back in that day. And so many miss him by the way he reveals himself. God was actually doing a great thing, bringing the Jews back to the tree of life. He was bringing them back into their own territory where he could finally bless them. But man has his own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is doing, going to do. And as I've said many times, he said that still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did and looking forward to what he do and ignoring what he's doing. And that's the way they miss it. They look back and see what a great thing he did, but fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. Like God could take one man like Joseph. God could take one man like Elijah. God could take one man like William Branham. God could take one man like John Wesley and do what he did. He said then they look forward and see a great thing coming, and 9 times out of 10 it's already happening right around them, and it's so simple they don't know it. Everything will move just as common as it can be. It'll move along in a common way. You know what? I think we're going to slide right towards the tribulation, just as a common every day, get up in the morning and do what we got to do. I believe it's going to happen. I don't believe it's going to be 10 days till the tribulation, 9 days till the tribulation. I don't think it's going to happen that way. I think you're going to make a step of faith in order to get out of here. And when they say the graves will open, how's the graves going to open? When God just speaks and the rapture will come? It ain't going to be angels go out there and shovel out the graves, get an old dead carcass there. But in our natural mind, that's how we think. God's going to open the graves, take the dead. He said it's born of sin to begin with, but a new one's made in his likeness. God's not going to empty graves and stand people up on the ground. If we have this, we'll die again. Nobody will say the graves will open and the dead will walk out. That may be true. That's what the scripture says, but not open the way you say open. So in other words, God's not depending on you to interpret it correctly. That's all I'm saying. God is not depending on us to interpret it correctly. Your job is to say yay when God does interpret it correctly. Amen. That takes a lot of load off. And that may be true, but not open the way you say open. Won't be like that. It's a secret because he said he'd come like a thief in the night. He said he'd come like a thief in the night. And I'll guarantee you that a lot of the ways that we have it in anticipation, we have a feeling of how it's going to work out. It probably ain't going to be that way. Probably ain't going to work out that way. It's going to work out the way that God decides. God's already determined, and God's got it already planned. Your job is to get with the plan. Your job is to get with the program. And when God does something, you're sitting there saying, amen. This is another step towards home. This is another amen. Step towards home. And Lord, we got a roadblock. And he just wants you to acknowledge his presence. He wants you to acknowledge his ability to fulfill the word he made towards you. Amen. God said on page 44, proving his word, he said there will be a rapture. There will be a people who will be taken away. You know what you need to say? Yay, I believe that, Lord. But I got a roadblock, and I don't think I'm going to get ahead of it. But I'm saying yes to the word. You watch God go to work for you and get you around that roadblock. God's always done it. That's why you're here today. It's because God got you through roadblocks, and God got you through difficult times, and God got you out of your church. God got you out of sin. God got you out of the gutter. God got you out of all kinds of places to get you where you are today. You got to trust him to get you where you need to go.
Amen.
And where you need to go is not here. You're already here. Where you need to go is not in that body. You're already in that body. Where you need to go is another kingdom. Amen. In another body. And God's the one to get us there. Your job is to say yay.
Amen.
And watch him go to work for you.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. Let's stop there. Oh, I'll tell you what, a golden age is a wonderful thing. A golden age is a wonderful thing. Because it is something that we can trigger. It's something that we can excite the Lord about. In our believing and our trusting him and our pursuing him, we can trust the Lord. And we can trigger that golden age. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm excited today. All right, Jaron, let's sing. What are we going to sing? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid. Let's sing that this morning. Let's just worship him together. Do you feel like worshiping him today? Oh, he makes his word so real to us. I'll tell you what, we have been trained to love his word. We have been trained to believe his word. We've been trained to rest on that. And I would say, do what you've been trained to do. Do what you've been trained to do. Thank you for the cross, Lord.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, oh Lord. Thank you for this pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns, and you reign.
Say amen today. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. B flat.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like Thee. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mind. Oh, my comfort, my shelter, a tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your word.
Just the feelings we have. It's not just the environment we stand in. It is the reality of God's promise and the reality of God's presence among us.
Amen.
That's a reason to praise. Let's sing it this morning.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise, every praise, you know it's to our God. Sing it again. Our God,
oh glory, hallelujah.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise
to our God.
Sing it again, every praise. Sing every praise to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise, every praise, you know it's to our God.
God, my healer,
praise, every word of worship. Oh, every praise, every praise. You know it's to our God. Come on, sing hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, every praise, every praise. God, my Savior. Oh, every praise. Come on, church. Every praise is to our. Come on and sing hallelujah, church. Glory, hallelujah. Every praise. Every praise. You know it's to our God. God, my Savior.
Sing his praise. Good to know you're saved. I mean, that's Amen. A wonderful, wonderful revelation. Falling in love with Jesus.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love.
Are washed away. All my sins are washed away.
we love him. That shouldn't be a shock to anybody. After what he's done for you, after forgiving you your sins and all of your trespasses and buried it all in the sea of his forgetfulness, and without money, without price, he did that for you, did that on your behalf, and then does miracles, and then helps you, and then leads you and guides you and gives you understanding and all the other promises and all. Hey, it's no wonder that we love him. I'm amazed that he loves me. I'm amazed that he loves me. I'm amazed that he still says, yeah, and you're the one I want. Even though you messed up, and even though you did things wrong, and even though you were just, you know, useless for half of your life, you're the one I want. You're better off being quick to say yay. Yay, Lord. If that excites you, Lord, that excites me. Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence today. Just in the quietness of this moment, Lord, we're so thankful that you knew us before the foundation of the world. You chose us. And here we stand, Lord, as people, Lord, that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're now singing the praises that every other generation they sang, all the redeemed sang in every other age. But now, Lord, it's our day. Now it's our day to worship you in spirit and in truth. It's our time, Lord, to say yea and amen. It's our time, Lord, to acknowledge your presence and your goodness. I pray now in the name of Jesus, you would stir in every heart. I pray, dear God, that you would anoint us to fulfill the part of the bride that you have raised us up to be. Lord, we can do no other except for what you anoint us to do. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just move us out of the way. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit be so present in our lives that we would see no other purpose but your purpose. And seek no other will but your will. And make no other decision but the decisions that coincide with your word. Help us, Lord, I pray, right where we are. We commit our needs to you. We commit those who are hurting today into your hands, Lord. Pray you'd be their comforter. Pray you'd be their healer and deliverer. Everything we have need of, we know lays in Christ. And we're trusting in that today, Lord. Speak to us. Speak to us in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Bless our week and all we have to do, Lord. No matter where we find ourselves, we want to be holding onto your hand. And I pray you'd watch over the people here in the services, Lord, until I return. I ask, oh God, that you would just be present in every gathering of your people. And Lord, may you just be glorified. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. There's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army. Sing the Waymaker, and then we'll call it quits here. Would that be all right? All right, let's give it a shot here this morning. Let's sing this chorus here. I think it'd be good for us to end on this note here today.
You are here, working in this place.
I worship you. Oh, I worship you. You are here. I worship you, for you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are here, touching every heart. Oh, and I worship you. Yes, I worship you. Well, you are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. For you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, you are. You are. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. And you are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. For you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker,
miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every life, and I worship you. Oh, I worship you. For you are here, meeting every. I worship you, oh, I worship you, for you are
waymaker,
miracle worker,
promise keeper,
oh, light in the darkness, and my God, that is who you are. Oh, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. For you are with me, light in the darkness.
Light in the darkness.
My God, that is who you are.
darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. We're going to sing that little chorus, He is here. And then we're going to dismiss you this morning. So as we sing this, we'll let you go this morning. If you want to stay and worship just a little bit, you're certainly welcome to do that. Keep us in prayer again, if you don't mind, as we're traveling this week. And Brother Aaron will be taking the service on Wednesday night. Brother Trevor Eamon will be here on Sunday for service. And we'll be having a youth gathering also this Saturday, right? So may God bless you and keep you. He is here. Sing as you go this morning.
He is here.
Bless you, saints. Keep it on your heart as you go.